T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is a Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Let me be the first to wish you a happy Friday. My name is Will Polonchik, in with you here for another 2 hours. Chance to continue to play with us, 404-741-0929. We've had a lot of discussion on which quarterback needs to validate their legacy more by winning a Super Bowl. Is it Matt Ryan? He of the almost 70% passing a year ago, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a year that was very similar to the year that they took to the Super Bowl, or at least the Super Bowl appearance, I should say. Or is it Cam Newton, who after one of the best years statistically passing of his life, 3,300 yards, 7.2 yards per attempt, 67% passing, 24 touchdowns, 13 picks. But he is going to undergo shoulder. He did undergo shoulder surgery. They're trying to rework his mechanics. I think Cam needs the Super Bowl more because I think that Matt Ryan's numbers and the way that he's generally perceived around the league. Because again, think about that with the way that the NFL Hall of Fame selection committee goes about these decisions. Your rep in the league matters. And Cam hasn't exactly had the most sterling rep when it comes to a lot of the guys who report on the National Football League, right, wrong, or indifferent, or justified. That's just the way things are. Ask Art Monk about how long it took him to get to the Hall of Fame, and we'll tell you a little bit about how much that particular room is a popularity contest when it comes to how your legacy is defined by a bunch of guys who sit in a room on Super Bowl weekend. We'll get into more of that. We're going to talk a little college football here. We'll talk some Georgia football. We'll talk some Alabama football. Our friend Peter Burns from the SEC Network, a little bit less than 20 minutes from now, will give us a preview of SEC Media Days, which begin in Hoover on Monday. And, of course, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for SEC Media Days official coverage, which begins on Monday in Hoover with our midday show, Andy and Randy. And, of course, getting you ready for all of that here coming up this week. We'll talk some Georgia football. We'll talk some Alabama football and also some surprise teams in the West and East as we continue to look at some of those things here. Did want to touch on this to start the hour because I had it marked for earlier in the show and we got a little behind, but the Atlantic League, which is played mostly in the upper Northeast, began the second half with a bunch of different rules that they have been charged by Major League Baseball to implement as sort of a test market when it comes to giving you an ability to see them in play and in practice, and as a result, whether or not they'll be added in Major League Baseball will obviously result in how they look on the field for the Atlantic League. But some of these things include home player-assisted ball and strike calls by TrackMan radar tracking system. The umpire will wear an earpiece, and the earpiece will tell him, sometimes before the pitch even results in hitting the plate, whether or not a pitch is a strike or not. No mound visits permitted by players and coaches other than for pitching changes or medical issues. I like that. Pitchers must face a minimum of 3 batters or reach the end of an inning before they exit a game unless a pitcher becomes injured. That is one that is currently on the proposal table from Rob Manfred toward the Players Association. He wants that implemented as soon as next year. Still no word on whether or not that's going to come about, but that is something that they are testing in the Atlantic League as well. There's also an increase in size of first, second, and third base by about 3 square inches, which is interesting. The one that I also very much like is they are requiring, get this novel idea, they're going to require 2 infielders to be on each side of second base when a pitch is released. If not, the ball is dead and the umpire shall call a ball, a.k.a. hashtag ban the shift. Hashtag ban the shift. Also, the time between innings and pitching changes has been reduced from 2 minutes and 5 seconds to 1 minute 45 seconds. And the distance from the pitching rubber to home plate has been extended by 2 feet. That happened, of course, in the second half of the season only. no change to the mound's height or slope. I don't know if I like that idea, because that, I think, just already increases the amount of offense that we're already going to see in baseball. But if it was me and I had a rule that I wanted, I want the robo-umps. And if you can allow me to be greedy, I want the pitcher minimum. And I want the infielder rule that bans the shift. 404-741-0929. What do you want to see implemented amongst these Atlantic League rules, if at all? Or do you want no changes? Are you somebody who is like these people who are what I would call the juiced ball truthers, if you will, in baseball, that are saying, oh, well, the game is fine. Offense is good. Offense will allow allow baseball to get more people, get more eyeballs, get more attention on the game. Will it? Will it really? Because here's the problem. Will you gain more than you lose with all this offense? And again, I know that it's not necessarily baseball's responsibility when it comes to the tried-and-true baseball fan who likes the 3-2 games and the 2-1 games and pitcher's duels and the ability for a pitcher to dominate a game, whether it's in October or otherwise. But you stand to alienate a lot of your key customer base that still exists, if it does, by continuing with these radical changes in baseball that allow offense to basically be almost untested and unrequited. I like the robo-umps. I like the three-batter minimum, and I like the infielders with two each on each side of second base when the pitch is released. If not, the ball is dead, and an umpire should call a ball. We'll take your thoughts, 404-741-0929. Also, we'll do a little college football here as we sit less than 50 days away from the beginning of the college football season. And I talked about this a little bit last week, but I do want to reiterate this. The time is now for Georgia in the SEC and the SEC East, because I think you have a vulnerable Alabama team coming off of the pantsing by Clemson in the college football playoff. I do think that there's probably going to be no resistance given by the SEC West, and that you will see them on the opposite side again. But Clemson provided a very interesting blueprint, and Georgia will have time to, quote-unquote, get its stuff together and figure out a way to compensate for the loss of Jeremiah Holloman off the team, of course, for a violation of team rules. But I do believe, when you think about Fromm going into his third year, DeAndre Swift coming back off of a 1,000-yard season, and the fact that this defense returns a lot of star power and a couple of key cogs in the 2017 recruiting class, which I've told you about. 2017 was really the start of the surge. And granted, he had high rankings before that, but 2017 was the start of the surge by Kirby Smart in recruiting that has largely led to the makeup of the way this team looks right now. Think about the guys who are basically in the projected two deep that are sophomores right now. Jordan Davis, Brenton Cox, Eric Stokes, Tyson Campbell. On the offensive side, Jamari Sawyer, Isaiah Wilson, part of two of the four returning starters on the offensive line. Matthew Landers at wide receiver. This is a year where basically every head-to-head recruiting battle that they wanted, they won. And it continued into 2018. It's starting to continue to matriculate through 2019 as well with the recruiting class that they're piecing together right now. Though the issue that exists is this is probably your final year with Jake Fromm. And as a result, you wonder whether or not Bennett or DeJuan Mathis is the guy who's the heir apparent. Of course, Fromm, a 23-4 mark as a starter, 65% completion percentage, and probably the leader of the offense that could be among the SEC's best, at least the best in the SEC East. And the other guy to watch, too, is Zamir White, complimenting Swift. Of course, White, basically nothing last year for you with the torn ACL in both knees during the 2018 preseason. Not only will he return, but I think he'll be a major factor. And I also think, too, that despite the fact you don't have Jeremiah Holloman, you have a lot of guys who caught balls for you last year. You have Demetrius Robinson, the transfer from Cal, who, quite honestly, wasn't given the kind of opportunity to excel in that room. But you have probably the best offensive line that we've seen in college football over the last couple of years that's going to protect from, give him the ability to create and operate. And I honestly think that the one thing that leaves Alabama vulnerable is the fact that this is the third consecutive season Nick Saban's got to switch coordinators. Eventually, that has to catch up with him. Now, I know that a lot of people have gone to the mat trying to predict the demise of the Crimson Tide. I'm not saying that there is a demise, but I think Georgia is the best case for the fact that we might not see Alabama-Clemson 5 this year. I love Georgia to potentially upset the Alabama Crimson Tide in Atlanta because I think that this could be the best team that they've assembled since the team that went to the national championship. And granted, as we probably all know, that's a game that Georgia had in its hands and let slip away because of what happened, obviously, in the second half in overtime. And we all know, again, how that played out. But I do think, you know, I mean, Andrew Thomas, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Julian Rochester, Tyler Clark, these are all guys who I think could be, who are going to be all-conference players, but could be All-Americans. And as a result of that, you're looking at a Georgia team that is loaded for bear. I'm not saying that the window is closing, but this year is your window. This is your best window to make it happen. If it doesn't happen this year, I don't know when it happens. Not to say that Kirby Smart can't reload, but a third-year quarterback, all the offensive line help that he has, the skill position players, and the defense to boot, if you don't have it happen this year, it's not going to happen. I'll ask Peter Burns how he feels about the Dogs and other SEC storylines when he joins us next to preview SEC Media Days. Our SEC Network expert joins us coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Of course, just to our west, we have SEC Media Days coming up beginning Monday, and it's going to be very, very exciting, as it always is, to return to Hoover. Of course, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there in force, and also will be there our friend Peter Burns of the SEC Network, who joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So, Peter, I'm sure you're excited to get back to Hoover and have everything kind of start up again with football. It's hard to believe that we're less than 50 days away from the kickoff of the 2019 season.
Yeah, well, it's great to talk to you, man, especially when you tell me, hey, let's come on and talk college football tonight. I'm like, hell yeah, because it kind of feels like, you know, once media days hits, that's when it gets real. Or, you know, and I've talked to coaches about that, is the fact that, you know, they get ready and, you know, they only have a couple of weeks recruiting that, you know, it's kind of a dead period. So for them, when Monday rolls around, it's kind of like their mind is locked in. Like, okay, now the season starts. And again, I think it's probably one of the more intriguing media days we've had in a long time. I mean, you know, 3 years ago, we only had three quarterbacks that were there at media days, which is crazy. Out of the 14 teams this year, we're going to have nine. So there's a lot of star power going to be down in Hoover.
Yeah, well, there's a lot, obviously, and I think that's a big, big thing. And, you know, people have talked about, especially with these media days, you know, some of the decisions that some coaches make. I know that Dabo Swinney and the ACC side is not bringing Trevor Lawrence to their ACC media days. And like you said, nine quarterbacks in the SEC. It seems like the conference has taken a vested interest in every portion of this to make sure that their best is shown out, especially when they convene every year in July.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things, too. And I think this is one of the few years in a while that we haven't had a lot of quarterback battles. You know, I think Auburn's going to have one between Bo Nix and Joey Gatewood. Arkansas is going to have one as well. But for the most part, a lot of the marquee programs have their guy. Like, they've locked in on somebody. And, you know, a lot of moving pieces, you know. I mean, You've got Joe Brady, who's now the new passing game coordinator for Joe Burrow down at LSU. That's going to be intriguing. Jim Chaney goes from Georgia, and now he's going to be working with Jared Garantano and Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. So it's going to be interesting when you see some of the players talking about, you know, the off-season changes that are being made. And I think that's going to make for a hell of a 2019 college football season here in the conference.
You know, we'll start at the top here with Alabama, Peter. Obviously, the big loss to Clemson during last year's college football playoff certainly rocked the conference, rocked the college football world. Nick Saban, once again, having to deal with a lack of continuity at the coordinator, but he does have continuity at quarterback. What do you foresee as the barrier when it comes to the Crimson Tide in 2019 to possibly repeating and getting back to the not only the SEC championship, but back to the college football playoff?
I mean, honestly, making sure that everybody shows up for the bus on time, Will. Like, you nailed it, right? I mean, it's the coordinator position, and I think that's what's been happening, and not just coordinator, but just position groups in general. I think one of the reasons why you've seen Clemson win two of the last three was not because they had quote-unquote more talented players in Alabama. It's just I think that they had an opportunity that the scheme worked really well, and that's what's happening when you have a group of coaches like a Clemson that have been there for the longest time. You know, Brent Venables and Elliott and those guys, they like their time at Clemson. I think a lot of people, you know, for Coach Saban, Saban demands excellence. He chases perfection, and for some people that's a tough road for them year in and year out. But again, guess what? Saban doesn't care. I mean, that's a credit to him. I mean, a lot of people, when they lose coordinators or lose NFL draft picks, you sit there and go, well, okay, well, now they're rebuild. It doesn't matter. I mean, all Saban does is reload. So it's become a really interesting kind of chess match between two dynamic, different style of coaches in Dabo and Nick, who are both at the top of their game still.
SEC Network's Peter Burns joining us here. Of course, you can hear him on Sirius XM on the SEC Network channel, of course. Very, very awesome morning show involved there. And, of course, all the coverage that will begin this upcoming week on the SEC Network as well. Let's go to the East, Peter. Georgia, obviously atop the East. And you know, when you think about the Bulldogs, you have Jake Fromm going into his third year. But they've dominated the headlines for all the wrong reasons with a couple of dismissals, Jeremiah Holloman chief among them. What do you foresee for this Bulldog team? Because while recruiting has been amazing for Kirby Smart, people wonder where the window is for this team as they enter in Kirby Smart's fourth year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I think this was the year that everybody kind of penciled and saying, hey, this was the year they expected them to be a national title contender. I think 2 years ago, Will, was way early, right? And they were ahead of a schedule. Last year was about where I thought they would be, a very, very good team, but just not to that excellent level like a Clemson or Alabama. And again, they got everything now. You know, as much as I know that the issues that they're going to have with wide receiver, they've got arguably maybe one of the favorites for Heisman and DeAndre Swift, if he can stay healthy. Remember, they have, Zamir White, who was a freshman last year, tore his ACL. They think he'll be 100% healthy. Brandon Herrien's back on that team as well, too, or Brian Herrien, I should say. But to me, it all boils down to Kirby knows that he has arguably one of the greatest offensive lines that we've seen in the last 10 years in the SEC. And that is a game changer when you have a quarterback like Jake Fromm has been there. So everybody's chasing Alabama in the West. Everybody's chasing Georgia in the East. And I think the team that I'm really looking forward to hearing about on Monday is Kelly Bryant and the Missouri Tigers. Mm. You know, and I think that's a really intriguing team to me. You know, Kelly Bryant, the former Clemson quarterback, he's gone and transferred out to Columbia. And I think that's the thing that really strikes me as interesting about Missouri, Will, is the fact that for Missouri, you know, all these teams are losing players to the transfer portal. Missouri right now has a bowl ban over their head that they're trying to appeal, yet they've lost the least amount of players of any team in the SEC. That tells me that this team is like, hey, we're circling the wagons. We're ready to roll. And the fact that they've got Arkansas and Ole Miss as their West cross-divisional opponents, I think that bodes well for the Tigers being a spoiler coming up this year.
Yeah, I read somewhere, I can't remember if it was on your network or elsewhere, that they have one of the easiest schedules amongst SEC schools. They could be favored in ESPN's FBI, I believe, in around 10 or 11 of their games. And the only one I think that they're not favored in would be the Georgia contest.
Georgia.
And, of course, when you think about them, when I thought that Kelly Bryant was going to start shopping around. I thought he was going to stay somewhere close to the Southeast. Missouri was kind of on my radar just because I knew about the quarterback situation that was there under Barry Odom and the fact that after Drew Locke, they didn't really have a clear-cut guy after that. How surprised not only that he made that move, but how well it seems that he's taken to that move and that team has taken to him.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things and kind of tells you about the caliber and of the kid that Kelly Bryant is I was told, and there were pictures of it, that about how many, there were several Clemson teammates that actually came to the Missouri spring game this year to cheer on Kelly Bryant. I'm like, how cool is that? Like that should tell you what that kid meant. And it just happened to be that he was behind what we think could be a once-in-a-generational quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, just happened to be playing behind him. So, again, I think the job that Derek Dooley did with Drew Locke last year and turning him into a draft pick is why Barry Odom said, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to coach the defensive side. I'm going to let you and Derek develop an offense that you want, and we'll fit in so that you can be the next pick of, you know, the Denver Broncos or the NFL draft or whoever. And I think that's where some of these teams have to show that where they can develop talent. Think of Kentucky, right? Kentucky, Mark Stoops can say, I got Josh Allen in the league. I got a Benny Snell into the league. Like, come to Kentucky, and will we win a championship? Maybe not. But can I get you to the NFL? Absolutely. And I think that's how those kind of mid-tier teams have to recruit, and Missouri's doing a hell of a job doing it.
SEC Network host Peter Burns joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WadeFord.com hotline in advance of SEC Media Days beginning next week. You know, Florida is intriguing to me because, you know, I look back on that season and I really wasn't impressed with Felipe Franks. I know he finished the season well, but still a sub 60% passer. And yet you look up and they had 10 wins. I want to say that's one of the best coaching jobs from Dan Mullen. Just the fact that he was able to stretch 10 wins out of him. And I think there's an even higher ceiling, I think, for Gator fans that they believe they can reach this year.
I was over at Lake Oconee a couple weekends ago, and we were in that event, and I saw Dan, and I just turned to Dan and Coach Mullen, and I told him, I was like, thank God Florida hired you and not Chip Kelly. I mean, it's just such a better fit, you know, and he kind of smirked and smiled. But, you know, here's the deal. He's having fun, and I think that's what Florida fans miss. You know, I mean, I never felt like Jim McElwain really felt like he was at place. I think Muschamp was still trying to learn his way as a head coach, which I think he's done better at South Carolina as far as managing that role, even though the results haven't been great for him. But I think Dan is in a good spot. I mean, Chris Doering, who's a former Florida great, is my co-host in the mornings, and he tells me that there's Florida players that believe that they can run the table this year. They think they're that talented. I have an issue with it because I just don't think the offensive line is going to be great. You know, I mean, as good as we talk about Georgia's offensive line, I think Florida's lack of depth at offensive line could come back to hurt them, especially, you know, Felipe has shown some signs of kind of struggling when he's a little bit under pressure, like with any quarterback, really. So, again, I think Dan is a great job, but I think Florida and Texas A&M both take a slight step back from the 10-win seasons that both of them had last year.
I do want to ask you to talk about your beloved LSU Bayou Bengals. You know, Coach O, with 10 wins last year, many believe he might have staved off a lot of the fire kind of breathing down his neck. Do you think he's safe with a good season this year, or do you think the pitchforks might come out again in Baton Rouge?
Well, listen, I mean, LSU fans are like Auburn fans, right? A lot of times that they're like, no matter if it ain't a national championship, they're always like, well, who else can we get? You know, I mean, and that's, guess what? While I don't like it, that's also the product of a program that wants to be able to, you know, have some success and expects championships. So, yeah, he's fine. I mean, listen, that was a 10-win season last year. They barely lost to Florida, and they, frankly, pretty much beat Texas A&M in that 7 overtime game. So it could have been 11 wins. I mean, I think LSU and Ogeron with the new offense are the biggest threat to Alabama in the West. I mean, I have them in kind of their own tier. I've got Georgia and Alabama in their tier one. At like tier 1.5, I think is LSU, and I think everybody else is in a tier below them right now. And LSU has one of those unique roads, Will, to where they could potentially go undefeated, lose themselves in the college football playoff contention, especially, you know, they've got that week 2 game in Austin against a good Texas squad, which I think that they beat, and I think LSU's going to surprise some people with this offense.
I got last one for you, Peter. I don't know if you have your prep in front of you, but is there a player on that list of players who's going to be attending Media Day this week that you haven't talked to that you're most looking forward to when it comes up this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, honestly, I've talked to him, so it's a little bit of a cheat. But if you don't know the name Cash Daniel, that's the linebacker for Kentucky. This kid's a star, and I don't know if he'll play in the NFL. I don't know if he'll be one of the, you know, an unbelievable prospect going forward. But when you talk about guys that are just country boys that are from the SEC, like I went down to Lexington, and one day we were like, we're filming some stuff, and he goes, let's go fishing. So I said, all right, to hell with it. So we brought our camera crew, and we go out fishing. And I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a professional bass fisherman if he doesn't play in the NFL. He was great, but he talks the talk. He walks the walk. And I think him and Mark Stoops, I think you're going to be interested to hear what they have to say this week at Media Days, because I think they got a chip on the shoulder. A lot of people are saying, hey, Kentucky, that was just a flash in the pan, and I think it's motivated them. So keep in mind the name Cash Daniel, because I guarantee you he's probably going to end up being the star of Media Days in Hoover next week.
You can see him on SEC This Morning on the SEC Network on SiriusXM. Appreciate the time as always, Peter. Thank you so much for it, and enjoy Hoover this week.
Will, you're sounding good, man. Anytime I can talk college football with you, I'll learn something. So I appreciate you having me on, man.
That is Peter Burns on the WadeFord.com hotline joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll react to some of that and get back into our main topic of the day. Who needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? I will make my case coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We can be thankful for one thing as we welcome you back inside the Kia Studios. We can be thankful that our way too long Atlanta Hawks Summer League nightmare is now confidently over. Our long national nightmare is over. It ends in four games for the Atlanta Hawks. 1-3 is where they finish. Charlie Brown led Atlanta with 16 points as the Wizards defeat the Hawks 76-71. 1-3 is where they finish after a loss to the Zards. McCall had 12. Matt Mooney had 8. We saw no DeAndre Hunter. Bruno Fernando played 28 minutes, scored 2 points, 3 rebounds. And that was about it. Reed Travis, also 13 minutes, but only had 2 points. We weren't going to learn anything substantial from the Hawks, I don't think. Even after, you know, the one game with Hunter, he was out with an illness, and I guess they figured, you know, why risk it in the final game when it doesn't look like they were going to make that happen. Apparently on the broadcast of it, they filmed the entire game from smartphones, which was weird. They had basically every camera was a smartphone camera. So like they were all basically using like their smartphones on like a little tripod to film the game, which was unique. I'm all for experimentation, but let's just say now that the Hawks are out of the Summer League, I'm going to put the Summer League on Do Not Disturb. Yes, no, nothing, Siobhan, nothing. Put the phone on Do Not Disturb, put the Summer League on Do Not Disturb because they use the smartphones. Yeah, that's my dad joke for the night. The as yet unsponsored Willie P dad joke of the night. I still have to also get to the non-sports story that made me smirk and smile, which we'll do here in the mini break coming up. I did want to reopen the discussion on the Matt Ryan Cam Newton debate. The big question of the evening: who needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? 404-741-0929. That's the phone number, and also part of the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We had our Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter. I had him in studio. We were talking about this for a great deal of the segment. And here, if you missed it, is a little bit of what he had to say about that debate. Who needs Super Bowl more to validate their legacy? Is it Cam Newton or is it Matt Ryan?
I would definitely have to say that it is Matt Ryan because of the Mike Vick factor and because I think that would kind of be like put a stamp on his career as a whole, because I believe if Matt Ryan gets a Super Bowl, he's automatic shoe-in for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Man,
for the Hall of Fame.
Now,
I don't want to alienate the people that do like Matt Ryan and love Matt Ryan. They love their quarterback. There are a lot of people like that. But a lot of times, you know, you're going to hear negativity a little bit more than the positivity. I think that a lot of people, because he's not exciting, mm-hmm. he's kind of cornbread, you know, he's like white bread, you know, very normal, You know, you can barely get him to say anything.
Not controversial.
Colorful. Yeah. He's not going to say anything controversial. He's going to be the upstanding citizen, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That is a little bit from Jarvis Davis earlier here on the program, 404-741-0929. Before we hit the phones again, I just want to remind you, it wasn't a seamless transition from Vic leaving in 06 or Vic going to jail in 06 and then Matt Ryan being drafted in 08, because we did have to endure 1 year of Joey Harrington, the Joey Harrington experience in 2007, okay? And that was brought up on the tweets. You can tweet me at Willie P. Style. Alan Newsom, who's been tweeting at us over the last couple of evenings. You can tweet the entire station at 92.9 The Game and tweet me at Willie P. Style with an IE, not a Y. And he basically said they had to endure 1 year of a bad quarterback, and that bad quarterback was Joey Harrington. I don't think anybody wants to go back and see that, because, you know, be careful what you wish for, Falcons fan. And I have no idea why. Why they just there is this heresy that exists here that believes that Matt Ryan is the source of all the problems in Atlanta, and the fact that, oh, it's such a travesty that he needs help and that he needs pieces around him. There's only been one quarterback outside of, again, the Trent Dilfer Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl. There's only one quarterback who has won with basically a lack of a modicum of help when it comes to Super Bowl, who's done it on his own, and that's Tom Brady. And if Matt Ryan's greatest sin is that he's not Tom Brady, then that's a darn good career to have. 404-741-0929. Let's go to John, who's calling in Rex, Georgia. John, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
Well, sir.
My opinion as to that question is Matt Ryan. Cam Newton's legacy, in my opinion, is not even – I don't think his legacy is yet to be defined at this point in time. Matt Ryan's 10, 11 years in the league. He's got an MVP. He's got a Super Bowl appearance. The Matt Ryan and the – I understand what you're saying with the if Matt Ryan's greatest fault is not being Tom Brady. No, that's not his greatest fault. Matt Ryan's like the fastest quarterback to 40,000 yards. I mean, if you really want to break down the details, I mean, Matt Ryan had Julio Jones the majority of his career. He had Tony Gonzalez. He's had some of the greatest players of all time at their position as his weapons. So, I mean, his legacy is going to be like a, in my opinion, he's like a fringe Hall of Famer. Like, he's there. He's going to have a number to say he's there, but when you watch him game in and game out and you see how he struggles to put games away, in my opinion, when teams up by two scores in the second half and the defense is the one taking the blame and things of that nature, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, in my opinion, they finish games that Matt Ryan seems to not be able to finish. And not just talking about the debacle in the Super Bowl. He gets too many times, if you watch the Falcons on a week-in, week-out basis, where the defense has made the quote-unquote what should be the last stop of the game and give the ball back to the offense with a lead, and the Falcons somehow still end up losing that game. You know what I'm saying? It's too many.
I got you, John. But here's my other question to you before I let you go.
Okay.
Cam Newton had probably the best passing year of his career last year because he threw for 68% passing. A lot of that is due to North Turner's influence on that offense. But with a reconstructed shoulder, I don't know if he's ever going to reach that point again. Does that not concern you about the possibility of his future, the fact that we might not see him get back to that level ever again and he might have to use his feet, and that's probably not the best part of his game right now?
Oh, definitely. If I was a Carolina fan, I'd be major worried about Cam Newton and the near future, because, like you said, he's never been a great passer as far as accuracy is concerned in the first place, and now he's coming off of an injury, and obviously the older you get, the less hits you want to be taking. I know he's a big guy and all, but I mean, he's not going to be able to sustain the level of rushing attempts and yardage that he's been putting up his first 8-9 years in the league, however long he's been here. But so yeah, I'd be super concerned if I was a Carolina Panther a supporter or whatnot. But I don't think it's been maybe say for his MVP year with Cam Newton. I don't think Cam has ever been a better quarterback than Matt Ryan. I mean, in my opinion, Matt Ryan's always been a little bit better than Cam Newton because he can throw the ball better. Quarterbacks can run. So Cam Newton's got over 50 rushing touchdowns in his career, which is impressive, outstanding actually. But I've always thought of Matt Ryan as a better quarterback than Cam Newton. But yeah, if I was a fan of the Panthers, I'd be really worried about Cam and how he's gonna try to be a pocket passer moving forward to try to not take so many hits and whatnot. No, I don't like Cam moving forward. To be honest with you, in about 2 years, I'm not gonna want either one of these quarterbacks. They're gonna be done, in my opinion, because I don't think Matt Ryan's arm is gonna hold up till he gets 40 years old, like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I don't think his is gonna hold up that long, in my opinion. But Phillip Rivers is still making it by with not that strong of an arm. So if you're crafty, you can make it.
True. Appreciate the call, John. I would love to hold on for you, but we gotta hit a break. It's funny how he kind of made my point for me, even though he disagreed with me. Because again, I'm telling you, I think Matt Ryan, at the end of the day, everything else being equal, will have a better numbers and better stats than Cam Newton at the end of the day, which is why I think Cam Newton needs Super Bowl more to push him over the edge. I think that Matt Ryan's numbers and the anecdotal evidence around him when it comes to guys who are students of this game that will be in that room choosing for the Hall of Fame, I think that gets him in, especially if he continues on the same track that he's on. We'll continue this discussion, including the non-sports story that made me smile and smirk, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Willie P. back here with you on a Friday. Got a little bit more than an hour to play, 404-741-0929. So I'll give you one sports story that made me smirk, and then I'll give you the non-sports one. Apparently Grayson Allen got ejected in the NBA Summer League tonight. Color me shocked. Color me shocked. Shock and awe that Grayson Allen got ejected from a Summer League game because he put on two away-from-the-ball hard fouls on former Tennessee forward Grant Williams. File that under things that I'm not surprised by. If there was ever a guy who was going to get ejected from a Summer League game, I would say Grayson Allen. It'd be Grayson Allen or Marshall Henderson, one of the two. Either of those two guys. So that's funny. So that's the sports one. And then the non-sports story that made me smile and smirk. And I know that this will give me a lot of props here anytime we make fun of the state of Florida, because we love to make fun of the state of Florida here, don't we? Dateline Tallahassee, Florida. The Leon County Sheriff's Office searching for an armed robbery suspect who robbed a Tallahassee gas station, the robber allegedly stole lottery tickets. Not money, stole lottery tickets. Of course, after stealing lottery tickets, he scratched them off and then tried to cash them in at a Publix down the street. Deputy is still searching for the suspect who was wanted on May the 22nd. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't make money off of lottery tickets, but that's a bit of a gamble, would you say? Would you say that's a little bit of a gamble? I mean, I know that a lot of these gas stations have the glass in front of them and things of that nature, and things that at least try to stop anti-theft. But I don't know if anybody's ever been held up and be like, "Give me all the scratchers now! I want them all in this bag, and I only want winners." I don't mean to make light of that situation. That's a terrible situation. I couldn't imagine being in that situation. But that to me is just dumb. You are really dumb, for real. But that is the one. They're not all gems, folks. But that is the best one I can give you on this evening of the non-sports story that made me smile and smirk. Apparently they still haven't returned all that money either, by the way, that we were talking about the other night. Still waiting on that money. They're gonna be waiting for a while. And no, it wasn't me on the side of the road on 285. And if you think it was me, don't be snitching. The big story of the evening came out of the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.